Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Have you ever been on a houseboat vacation? Apparently, things can get kind of crazy. Just ask comedian Laura House.
So the night of 4th of July, we were parked amid this big group of boats, yachts, houseboats. I mean, no question, we were the worst looking thing on the lake. And we were in the middle of a top of our lungs rendition of Rainbow Connection when two parks and Texas Parks and Wildlife officers boarded the boat. Boat cops. I didn't know if you knew that was a thing. There are boat cops, and they are a real buzzkill.
Don't miss comedian Laura House talking about her hillbilly houseboat vacation today on Storyworthy. Stick around.
Hey, it's Laura House. Check out my new album, Mouth Punch, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. I'm so glad you guys tuned in today, whether you're a longtime fan of Storyworthy, almost 8 years, if you can believe that, I know, or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week from Nancy Halla. It was about her son going into the Naval Academy.
Oh, wow.
I know. And
that's a big deal.
It's a big deal because she's not from a military family.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden, her son, you know, gets out of a high school and just says, I think I want to go to the Naval Academy.
Do the most military thing you can do.
It is very competitive.
So
anyway, it's a really good story. So
that's
go back and listen to that, you guys. But not today, because today I'm here with comedian and writer Laura House, who has a brand new comedy album out called Mouth Punch. Mouth Punch. I like that. It's like, boom, direct.
Thank you. It's the woman who... I recorded it in Portland at the Curious Comedy Theater.
Yeah.
Stacey Halal runs it. She also has an all-female comedy festival every fall called All Jane.
Yeah.
And she came up with a name because I talk about it like, when I drink, I will make out with you. I will punch you in the mouth with my mouth. Like, that is my... That is what I do.
That's your signature.
And then she was like... There's something funny about the word mouth, and then also kind of comedy is a mouth punch. Like from my mouth, I'm punching your face with my words.
Yeah, my daughter and I do that, like, you know, yellow punch buggy, no punchbacks.
Oh.
When you see a VW
buck.
There's a lot of fun punching going on.
Punching is just fun.
It's just fun.
Just take it right in your mouth.
Now listen, you've been on the show before. The last time you came on the show, Laura, you had recently gone to India. And
I've been to India, but I was in Bali and I did a 10-day raw food and juice. It was 5 days of raw food and instruction where you become a raw food chef.
Right.
I am.
But I want to go to the punch of this. Speaking of punches, I'm going to go to the punch of this. What I remember about that show is that you did this cleanse and then worms were in your feces.
Well, I...
Is that
true? That's probably the worst way to put it. But that's also not, I had, I was having a procedure. Uh-huh. I was having an enema. Like, it was a juice cleanse where, like, they really recommended, you know, because you're cleansing. So they recommended, like, having these treatments. And so it's not like I looked down and was like, oh my God, like worms.
Maybe.
It was more like I felt this, like, a significant sort of release. Like, actually, like, it felt like weird than good, like,
but you would never.
And the woman
known.
Told me, no,
yeah,
the,
you wouldn't
no,
have
she
known.
Told me,
okay. I think she should have left that out. I'll be honest with you. I did because I that's my whole takeaway.
It kind of, well, here's also part of why it's an interesting story is because in our day to day, it's super weird, like, it's not a normal thing we talk about, it's not a normal thing you do, you don't, whatever. But there, when you're in sort of this holistic center of the universe, Ubud, Bali, and you're on this raw juice, like it was kind of a normal thing. So just contextually, she was kind of saying it like an accomplishment. Like, oh, you got rid, like also.
Put that on your special skills.
Yeah, well, also fun fact, everybody has them. was kind of the takeaway that a lot of people did not get from when I mentioned that to, like, if you eat sort of like meat and cheese American diet, there's stuff in there. And so it was sort of downloaded to me like, oh good, you got rid of this thing.
Right, I get it. But weren't you also like in a cow dung house or something?
No. No. I tell a story on my album of in India seeing a dung hut on a farm, like a little house made of dung. And everybody else is kind of like, oh, that, like, ew. You can't say it out loud. You're in India. Like, you can't be like a total jerk. But but I'm kind of joking about the voice in my head that makes everything bad. Like, oh, I lost 10 pounds. Wasn't 20. You're right. What have I even done? So just that, like, the voice, and everybody was like, ooh, but the voice in my head was like, you don't own a house. That guy owns a house. That guy's better than you. And I was like, oh man, you're right.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking about, because I just listened to your new album.
I like that you smashed them all together.
I'm looking at my notes. And unfortunately, awesome. I didn't think out my notes before. I just spoke out loud.
No, I like it.
But the thing is, I listened to your album Mouth Punch and I laughed out loud so hard at that part. And then also the part I laughed out loud about is when you dissect the song Super Freak.
Oh, thank you.
That's what is going on there? I know that song, of course. I grew up with that song. But what's happening in those lyrics?
It's one of my favorite things to take something completely non-controversial and just act like it's a very big deal. So we've never questioned Super Freak. I feel like for decades, he said she was a super freak. And I think we've all been like, probably she was, you know?
Well, they play this.
But was she?
Yeah, they play it all the time.
Was she a super freak? Right. Like, also in light of Me Too, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a slut-shaming song. He's not saying being a super freak is some great thing. He's like, you know, there's a little disdain. She says, freak it, wow. Like, it's judgmental. He won't introduce her to his mother, which is like, who knew he was so traditional?
Wait. What is that line in the song?
He gives an example of going to her place. And so this is like, he's presenting, look, here's proof. Obviously, she was a super freak. I went to her place. When I got there, she had incense, wine, and candles. A very freaky scene. That is just not a freaky scene. Like, that is just a woman expecting company. And I feel like he's very unfair to her. She's not even like a mid-level freak. Like, that is just a normal person. She might be a substitute teacher. Like, I feel like he's being very harsh about this woman who was clearly like his girlfriend. And what if she had a reason for the incense and the wine and the candles? She's like, incense, yes, we had to bug bomb. I'm just trying to clear the air here.
Right.
Wine, it was Shabbat. You were invited. I don't know why you never come to these. And candles. There's rolling blackouts in the area. I'm just trying to be prepared.
They still play that song all the time. My fifth grade child, at her dances, they play that song.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a very, it has withstood the test of
time. She's super freaking out. She really is.
She's super freaking
out. Okay, so today, Laura House, you bring forth the topic, Hillbilly Houseboat.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hillbilly Houseboat, I don't really know much about hillbillies, except for all the people I know that voted for Trump.
Right. Oh boy!
No, but I was thinking about houseboats, and one time on the show, I had a girl named Paige Bryan, and her father is Sinbad.
Oh wow!
And she's a singer, super talented, and she told a story called, I think, Horror on a Houseboat or something.
Wow.
And what happened there was her family, Sinbad, and her dad, and her mom and a brother, they all go out on this houseboat.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you don't need a license to get on the houseboat. You don't need, you know, you just take this boat out in the middle of the lake. And anyway, the bottom line is they had a barbecue on the boat, which caught on fire.
Oh.
And they had to kick it off into the water.
Luckily.
Yeah.
The one thing that can save you, you're surrounded by. So
anyway, super funny story. And then recently on Modern Family, they were on a houseboat. And I want to go on a houseboat. I just think it sounds like such a relaxing, fun, just for like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, no, of course. Who was the whore on the houseboat? It sounds like there was a
barbecue. Horror.
Okay,
what
got
did
it.
I say? Horror?
You know what? I just, maybe because we transitioned from Super Freak, I was like, well, where was the whore? Was she at the barbecue?
It sounded like
a nice.
And incense.
It sounded like a nice family event. Okay, horror. Okay, yes, I can see how a fire would be a problem.
Horror.
Well, yeah, part of what I like about this story is, of course, a houseboat sounds like a very nice thing, but I have a friend, Ray, who I explain, and he buys stuff at police auctions to party on. And so it's not a nice houseboat.
In other words, what does that mean?
He, like, for example, I guess I've never been to one, but there are police auctions and he's in Texas and you can just buy, they're just, I guess it's stuff that got repossessed or went back to the, or just doesn't belong to anyone anymore. The bank took it back or whatever.
And houseboats.
And you can, they include anything. Like one time he bought a hearse because he was like, it's like a limo. And like he, that's what he liked to drive his friends around in to go to concerts because he just, he lives life more fully than any of us.
That's nice.
He's beyond, I think, like, also, he is on the edge of existence.
If you have cash, you can do funny things like that.
Yeah, but he's not, that's what I want to say. Like, this could have been a $500 houseboat. I'm telling you, it's not a fan. This was a shack on a barge. Like, this was not.
It wasn't livable.
There's no, I didn't see that episode of Modern Family, but there's no question this was not at all a similar houseboat.
No, of course not. No, this, in the episode of Modern Family, it was super fancy. Yeah, which, of course, is what got me thinking that that this is something maybe I'd like to do.
Well, that's the one you want to be on. And I would also imagine Sinbad's family, it was very nice. This was.
Not that.
Was not that. Which was
not the hillbilly houseboat.
This was a hillbilly version of a houseboat.
I'll tell you one thing, Laura. If you were on a Nectar sleep mattress, you could sleep anywhere. I'm telling you, these mattresses are incredible. First of all, the mattress is 11 inches deep, so it's pretty deep.
Yeah.
And it uses this 5-layer technology that no other mattress has because Nectar has a patent on it, and they're not sharing the idea. How do you like that?
Yeah.
It's a breathable, cooling, body contouring, medical grade, lush foam gel memory that is just so comfortable. It's like my head hits the pillow at night, and after I go through Twitter for 15 minutes, well, sure, then I fall asleep, and truly, I've been sleeping 5, 6, 7 hours straight, which for me is really incredible. Plus, Nectar promises a forever warranty on your mattress. And if you have any problems at all within 365 days, they will pick up the mattress and you'll get a full refund. And right now, you guys, you can get $125 off and 2 free premium pillows with any mattress order and free delivery. Just go to nectarsleep.com/storyworthy. Again, that's nectarsleep.com/storyworthy. At the end of the day, I just want to sleep well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we are excited to hear your story. But before we get to your story, Laura, I want to remind everybody out there to head over to storyworthypodcast.com. And that's all I'm going to say. You see what I mean?
Yeah, get over there.
I just stopped.
Yeah.
But I didn't talk about the mailing list.
Mm-mm.
I didn't talk about giving me a good review on Apple Podcasts.
You didn't mention it, but those help a lot.
And I also didn't talk about, like, the live shows coming up and stuff. I just said, go to the one source.
Yeah.
And everything, it's comprehensive.
Uh-huh.
And don't forget to subscribe to Storyworthy on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, NPR One, wherever you guys listen to your podcasts. Hey, if you love great storytelling, and I know you do, listen to LA Theater Works podcast on Wondery. They stage and record plays live in performance with actors in front of mics and add sound effects and music so it becomes a completely immersive audio experience. And they've been doing it a long time and have recorded over 500 plays. LA Theater Works' recent podcasts include Top Secret, The Battle for the Pentagon Papers, about the notorious leaked documents, Steel Magnolias, the story of 6 friends at a beauty salon, and Things You Shouldn't Say Past Midnight, which is a wild sex comedy that's definitely not safe for work. And that's just a few of their stories. So if you're an audio drama fan, listen to LA Theater Works. They bring live and recorded theater to the world, and they're right here on Wondery. All right, you guys, she's here right now, Laura House. She's a comedian who has performed on HBO, Comedy Central, NBC. She's also written a lot for television, including shows like Mom, Samantha Who, Secret Lives of Boys, as well as The George Lopez Show, Mad Love, Blue Collar TV, and more. She got her start creating and starring on MTV's cult classic Austin Stories. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought those people were very cool.
Oh, yeah. MTV has that. Give that perception.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Also, your writing, of course, as you know, I don't have to tell you, no. has been published in several books as well as Broadly and Vice. Now, your new album, like we said, Mouth Punch, is dropping right now, spring 2018. And here's something else, you guys.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And I think this is interesting. Not only do you teach meditation, but you do it at the end of your comedy album.
No, that's a very weird
transition.
I and it totally worked. I've done this several times of So I never thought it's a kind of a whole thing, but I never thought I would be a meditation teacher. There's still a whole part of my brain that's like, that's bananas. Yeah. Like I'm a mess or a what, you know, whatever comedian, smart ass. Mm-hmm. But I do, and it really works. And I feel like a lot of people who are maybe into comedy don't think it's for them. Like it seems a little reverent or it seems a little whatever. So I really like to take it into places that where people can be exposed to it. So I mentioned meditation a couple times in my show and I was like, what if I just taught everybody to meditate at the end?
Yeah.
And also I shot it as a special, so it's on film. But yeah, I taught the whole audience to meditate. And of course everybody, the feedback was like, yeah, it seemed weird, but yeah, you know, I felt better.
Yeah,
you know,
and it wasn't super long or anything.
I kind of felt energized to go home, and it was a night, you know, and I just, I kind of do it to let people know, like, you can do it. You know, it's not this crazy mystical thing that you have to, like,
and you
know,
can do search it anywhere the globe you are.
For anywhere, and it's easy, and you have access to it. Just sometimes just having the right person explain it to you is helpful.
Well, we're talking about meditation, not masturbation, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I don't meditate. I didn't lead a group that.
All right, you guys, you can find Laura.
I'm not the person for that.
LauraHouse.com.
That's super freaky.
And also Twitter at IamLauraHouse. Okay, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Laura House.
Unlike most of my stories, this one ends with me in court. Like most of my stories, it centers around my boobs. Now, I'm from Grand Prairie, Texas. It's a suburb of Dallas, but has a real country bend to it. I never embraced it. I never felt like I fit in. I enjoy things like banter and enunciation. In fact, I spent a lot of my life trying to learn big words and to stop saying fixin' to. But the cold hard fact is that I am a hillbilly, born and bred. And it's not all that bad. One of the best things about being a hillbilly is the people you party with. Because country folk get down. They don't give a F. Fun for hillbillies is just driving an old car through muddy fields and you call it muddin' and you float down a river drunk on an inner tube. What's that? Tubin'. Keep it simple and fun and messy. So one of my best friends, Ray, takes hillbilly to like new heights. He has an old hearse that he uses a limo to drive his friends to concerts. Why not? He hosted a New Year's Eve party the year 2000 at the original Chicken Ranch in LaGrange, which was a whorehouse, but is just like burnt out. Like Best Little Whorehouse in Texas was based on this actual place. He loves to fire up his hillbilly hot tub, which is a horse trough propped up on cinder blocks, filled with water and heated underneath with propane tanks. Yeah, it is. And you sit in there and you eat ribs and you let the bones float around and it's just people soup, basically. And you try not to pass out. So years ago, I got an invitation from Ray that said, Naked Island Houseboat Party. Bring beer. Clothing optional. July 3rd through 6th. So it's this multi-day houseboat party. And it's not the kind of invitation that you decline if you're me. Plus, I was about to move from Austin to LA. And I'd been in Austin for years. And, you know, was, you know, making my way to the big city. And it seemed like a good send-off. Now, when I say houseboat, as I was mentioning, don't get too excited. Like, Ray is not rich. He is crafty. He likes to buy things at police auctions so he can party on them, like that hearse and the houseboat. It was the most rickety, barely floating ship that could ever leave shore, and it barely did that. It was like a 30-foot by 10-foot barge with a shack on it. It held 8 people comfortably, and we carried on board like upwards of 20 at any moment, I'm sure. So the plan was to head to Lake Austin with all the beer you can, float down the river a piece, then drop anchor, drink and swim, and run around naked for 3 days and nights on this party barge. And please don't think that Ray is irresponsible. He had read the Parks and Wildlife rules, and he made sure that when we were drinking, we were anchored, and there were always enough life jackets for everyone on board. His whole point of view is like, you got to follow the rules when you party so you can keep partying. He's figured it out. So we got all the beer and provisions, which was beer, and we were off. And clothes, that is. We floated down the river to a private spot where we'd spend the next 3 days and dropped anchor and trow. So I was shy at first, but luckily my friends supported me by throwing ice cubes at my head until I took my top off. Then we had a party. So the music was loud as we drank and danced around, and girls mostly went old school topless, and some guys stayed clad. But four of them, Ray, of course, leading the pack, had coordinated wearing animal Speedos. So this is like a boy thong with an animal depicted on the front, like wiener area. Like
wiener area.
A moose or an elephant, a camel. You get it. Little felt pieces like you might use to make a puppet made this cute little animal like right on their junk part. So these guys were heroically representing the animal kingdom with their crotches. We drank all day in the sun, danced and swam around and napped. And by napped, of course, I mean passed out. And it was beautiful. Sunsets and songs and making out and laughing. Friends who just wanted to pop in for a bit. You know, they were like, I can't commit to 3 days. I'm a normal person. So our friend Colby, who was like a jet ski cowboy, he would go, you know, back down the lake with his jet ski and bring people back. And when it was multiple people, this was my favorite. He tied like swimming pool floatable rafts to the jet ski and guests floated like a weird little parade behind the jet ski. It was amazing. So the night of 4th of July, we were parked amid this big group of boats, yachts, houseboats. I mean, no question, we were the worst looking thing on the lake. But like the most fun, the most loud, the most drunk. Not that it was a contest, but if it was, we would have won. Tops down. So we were part of hundreds of Austinites out to enjoy, you know, the best view of, you know, the fireworks. I'm not sure when the singing started. There's something about being drunk for a couple of days, mostly naked. I guess we were just sort of pickled at that point. And we were sitting atop a barely legal houseboat that makes you think you can just yell whatever you want. So we'd worked our way through Proud to Be an American or whatever American songs we could think of. And we were in the middle of a top of our lungs rendition of Rainbow Connection when two parks and Texas Parks and Wildlife officers boarded the boat. Boat cops. I don't even know if you knew that was a thing. There are boat cops, and they are a real buzzkill. Apparently, we were disturbing the peace. The nerve! The music was killed, and the boat cops asked us to put our clothes on and sit quietly while they inspected the houseboat shack. Now, we were safe from real trouble because we were all of age, which is maybe the most embarrassing part. Like if we were 15, it maybe makes more sense. I'm sure we were closer to 30. But Ray had read the handbook. He followed the lake laws. He knew what they were. We weren't, you know, drinking and driving. There was nothing really illegal going on. We were just being obnoxious, but they were looking for something to bust us on. Cause honestly, they had boarded a couple times. So, and technically just being loud isn't a crime. So they were like anything. And also, but this was America's birthday. We had rights like freedom of drunk, loud speech. That was our point of view. But they were being really intimidating. Like, it was, they were like, you know, there are kids around here and there are laws. You can't just do whatever you want. And we sat there, like, kind of shivering. It was like we were sitting in, like, a wet principal's office. Like, we were just like, oh. And then they found it. A boat cop said there were more people on board than there were life jackets, that we were short two flotation devices, and that is against the law. Then a drunk voice, like, everyone's silent. And a drunk voice with a country accent rose above the shame silence. And it was Colby. And he said, Laura has big boobs. Maybe they can count as flotation devices. Well, they could not. So we were all hauled back to shore in cop boats four at a time. And Ray was cited and he was given a ticket. If this were my story, it would be the end of the story. Oh, we got a ticket. Oh, you know, it was fine. It was a fun day, blah, blah. But there's more because it's Ray. So Ray was so mad and he swore to fight it because he was like, we did not, well, I did everything right. So I would have been so glad to just get a ticket and not be arrested and, you know, whatever. But Ray was livid. So he was like, I had plenty of life jackets and they can't prove that I didn't. And his friend Jamie declared her revenge. She was going to pee on the cop boat. And then she did. So I moved to L.A. and I was back. I'm 10 years sober, by the way. I don't want anyone to worry about me. So I moved to L.A. and then I was back in Austin doing stand-up about 6 months later. And I happened to be there. Impossibly, I happened to be there on the day Ray had his court case and he asked me to testify. So the court was in a strip mall tucked between a 99-cent store and a newly remodeled Tantastic. Ray represented himself, and he even dressed the party with this vintage off-white suit, like Boss Hogg. Several of us met out front, and Ray told us the game plan. Say something so I don't have to pay the ticket. And I remember three distinct responses. I said, yeah, I'll say whatever you need. I don't respect like a strip mall court all that much. And then our friend Chewy, who was the most responsible of us and had like a family, was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I can't lie on the stand. I mean, I don't know what they're going to ask, but I mean, I could never lie on the stand. And then our friend Jeff said, I'll say anything. I don't care. I wasn't even there. Which is my favorite. He was in New York. We were hoping the boat cop wouldn't show, so it'd just be dismissed, which you always hope with a traffic ticket. But there he was, like he's like, I'm on to you. And he took the stand and he said he didn't remember a lot of the details, but they did get several complaints of noise. And so that's why they boarded the boat. And when he did that, he found there were only 14 life jackets and way more people on board. And he added that, you know, we were extremely intoxicated. As proof, he confidently turned his copy of the ticket over to read something he'd written down and said, someone said, Laura has big boobs. Maybe they could count as flotation devices. So this is court. So this is public. My boob, the size of my boobs are a matter of public record. Then it was Ray's turn and he's standing up there like Baby Matlock and he walks to the front of the court and he's like, you said there were 14 life jackets. How many people were there on board? And the cop looked surprised and he didn't know. He hemmed and he hawed and he wasn't sure and he looks at the ticket and was like, oh no. He's like, well, at least 15, but possibly 20, but definitely more than, and Ray pressed, but you didn't write that number down. So you don't actually know that we were short any life jackets, do you? And he didn't. So Ray called me to the stand. The judge looked at me and my chest. Are you Laura? Yes. Ray made a point to remind the court of my God-given non-regulation chest floaties. I was officially exhibit double D. There were titters. Oh my God, that's a terrible. Then he asked me if I remembered how many people there were on the boat. I honestly didn't. Chewy took the stand, emphatically said the same, not lying. He didn't know. And Jeff took the stand too. He literally didn't know how many people. He was in New York at the time of the party. So Ray made his closing argument, pacing back and forth in his white suit. Your Honor, no one knows how many people are on the boat. No one can know. It can never be known. I followed the rules so my friends could have a good time, but people came and went, and no one knows who was there when the officer boarded. He didn't write down the number, and I don't think I should be punished when there is no proof of wrongdoing. If he'd had a mic, would have dropped it. And the judge said, dismissed. We jumped and applauded and cheered and whooped, and the prosecuting attorney leaned across to Ray. It was like night court. Like the prosecuting attorney leaned across to Ray and said this was the most fun she'd had at work in years. And we headed off to some sort of gator-themed Cajun place to celebrate with fried food and hurricanes. And the bill was $257, and what the ticket would have cost, $150. Because that's how hillbillies party.
That is such a funny story. So wait, if you guys left on July 3rd, then you only were there one night and you had that happen?
Third, fourth, yeah, or the second or the, so, yeah, I think so.
So you were,
maybe it was the second through the fifth, yeah.
So the rest of the trip then you didn't, it was obviously cut short.
No, it was cut short. It was definitely cut like a day short. So maybe we're there in the second, anyway.
But did yeah, they make you
take? We'd been there like a day, yeah, the third, like all day the third, that night. All day the fourth, and then, yeah, we were.
So you missed two full days.
Yeah, no, I'm sure we made that up somewhere.
When you were busted and they took you off in the little police boats, did you have to gather all your belongings?
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't pack like grown-ups. You know what I mean? We were just swimsuits and beer.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really belongings.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Also, I think like, somebody would have taken the house. Like, I think it was also like, well, you could get whatever you wanted from the houseboat the next day or, you know, whenever.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the boat cops, they're not like Coast Guard. I mean, these are just like, it's the lake cops.
Parks and Wildlife, but they clearly had some kind of jurisdiction because, yeah, not the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Because it's not the coast, I guess. But yeah, like, I guess the same way you have, you know, cops who give traffic ticket on...
Yeah.
On land, you know,
hey, there's got to be laws, man.
They're the lake. You can't just be like a law-free lake.
No. I mean,
but it is something like you just never think about it or getting in trouble so hard on a lake that you are escorted off on like a cop boat. That's crazy.
No, it is, especially because you were parked. I mean, it wasn't like you were driving drunk, as it were.
Right.
And why had they boarded the boat before? You said they had already boarded.
I think they had just kept getting complaints from people around. So, I mean, I'm like a normal adult now, and it's very clear to me, like,
but how
you
many,
don't do that.
Yeah, but how many times had they boarded before they boarded you and actually busted you?
I think they'd boarded twice.
Wow.
One I wasn't aware of and heard of, and then what, you know, like they, like it was warnings, you know, they were like, you guys keep it down or whatever.
You guys must have been loud, man. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have a Facebook page called Naked Island Houseboat?
No, Ray has a whole thing called Sparkle Farm that I recommend anyone interested in more Ray check out.
Sparklefarm.com?
Probably.
Yeah. And so, what are the other trips you guys took together before this? You must have taken other trips.
Oh. No, I don't know. I just know, like, if you have a friend who's like magical.
Yeah.
Like Ray is like my magical friend. Like the week I met him, our birthdays are a week apart. Our brother's birthdays are a day apart. The week we met, we were in three movies together.
Oh my God.
Weird in Austin. We were in two local independent, and then we were both in the movie Where the Heart Is with Natalie Portman.
That's so funny. But when
she's a baby in a Walmart.
Yeah, when you're at a in your local community, you know, local theater and local film going on, everybody you ran into the same people.
You think, but I don't have that same story with anyone else.
Okay, so where does he live now?
He lives in Oklahoma with his boyfriend.
Interesting.
Or husband. I think they're officially married.
Well, then you can't marry him.
Yeah, no. But he felt it was very like soulmatey friend, and he also like he rallies people together to do these huge events. Obviously, he's at Burning Man every year.
Yeah,
you know, in the most elaborate.
Have you gone
situation.
To Burning Man?
No.
Yeah. Do you know Penelope Lombard?
Yeah,
she went twice. She has some very funny stories.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah, I think a Burning Man surreal experience.
Yeah, I think that ship may have sailed for me. I mean, sometimes I think
sure
I would go. Because there are different ways to go to Burning Man. You know, there is, you know, stay in a tent or a yurt and, you know, be dirty for 4 days. Or there are, like, they set up these extravagant, really VIP, high-end.
Oh, my God.
As well. So that might be more interesting if it were like that. But I think I would do that. But what are the odds that's going to happen? Right. I mean, I'm not, who's going to invite me to Burning, anybody out there, story worthy audience, going to Burning Man, if you've got
make it a contest.
Yeah, if your accommodations are high to best, then I will be there. Five stars, I think, would be good.
Yeah, all that stuff is like behind me. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that sober. So I can't.
Well, that's interesting.
It just would not be fun to me at all. Like when everybody is.
But couldn't you? I hear what you're saying. But couldn't you meditate your way out of that? Like just try to like be in the moment and experience their joy, as it were.
No, like not for me. No, but like what I can do is I can go to New Orleans and I can go to Las Vegas and I'm going to Hawaii tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
And I can enjoy a normal time where I might otherwise have had a drink back in the day. But when it's just a concerted effort, we're going to a desert to test the limits of our psyche with acid.
Yeah.
Like, no, like that's not fun for me at all. No.
I know what you mean. It really is frustrating when things are just focused on alcohol.
It just has no interest for me. Just like in my boat cop story, not drinking had no interest to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like I wouldn't want to be in a place where people are just having a glass of wine at dinner. You know, like that was not where I was at that moment in my life.
Yeah, I mean, everything is age appropriate.
I was like, I want to go hard. And now I'm like, I do not at all want to go hard.
Yeah, it just depends on
where
you are in life.
I like
want to
go hard at like books.
Mm, yeah.
Like, read this book.
Read the fuck out of that book, man. Do it. Just do it. And so you are traveling all the time now. Are you traveling doing stand-up or are you mostly here in L.A. writing?
I'm mostly in L.A. I've made a living as a comedy writer on all these great shows, which is really nice. And I have a couple of freelance scripts. And this one, Secret Life of Boys, isn't here, but it's a kids show. And it's in England. And I'm going there in April.
Oh, that's exciting.
Working on that. But otherwise, I kind of work on it freelance, and it's amazing. And then, yeah, but I tend to, I love to travel, and I'm lucky that I it tends to come up. And then my boyfriend, I sort of met like the one, like 9 months ago, met the one, fell in love. 3 months in, we're getting, this is so dumb, but like matching tattoos.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's like beyond, like that's even beyond wedding rings to me.
Yeah,
and
it is.
Like, then we just moved in December. And he's a jazz trumpet player, so he travels some. So I've gone some places with him, like in Monterey Jazz Festival. And
don't you love San Francisco? I mean, to have that—that's such a calming thing. Music in the house.
He's a world class musician, and here's the weird thing: he's also in Oingo Boingo.
What's that mean?
the band Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, he's in into them.
He's in
that band.
He plays in
what?
The band.
Nuh-uh.
No, I don't think it'd be worth mentioning if I was like, he's really into this
no,
band.
No, wait a minute. Really?
Like, no, they got That's back hilarious. Together. They broke up because Danny Elfman is very busy.
Yeah.
And without Danny Elfman, the drummer got back together most of the original band like 13 years ago. And Brian's the trumpet player.
That's so interesting.
So I'm also, so I've never had anything like, so I'm not like a cool person. I'm
you
not like
are a cool person. Now you're like a groupie cool person.
No, but that's the weirdest thing that I'm like new, like Halloween, I was like watching my boyfriend play in Oingo Boingo at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip in Vegas. And I
so
was like,
fun.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
So weird.
Life throws crazy
weird
curves at us. And when, you know, and I do understand, like when I look back on some shit I've been through, I get that there's like a reason for everything and there's a tapestry of our mm-hmm. life and this is why this happened, this is why this happened, but goddamn it's hard when you're going through it and you can't see that broader picture.
It's awful. Yeah. The dip, it's very hard. Yeah. There's stuff in the, I think the thing when you were talking about meditating through stuff, like that's what I try to meditate through of like, if you just can remember like, oh, this isn't the end of the story. You know, like if you mm-hmm. take a thin slice of life mm-hmm. and it's the worst thing, you mm-hmm. know, someone just passed or this relationship ended or this job ended, whatever. If you take like the thing that makes you sad and thin slice it, then you go, oh, my life is terrible.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of widen
right.
the
so
view
you say,
and
like,
be like, you know what? All these great things and then this happened and, you know, things fall apart and things come back together. And
right. So I'm going to live for 80 years and right now I'm bummed out because, you know, something happened and that's appropriate to be bummed out.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let myself feel that. It's
and just know it's going to change. Everything is just changing all the time.
It's just that it depends on your circumstance, especially in this town, like trying to make a go of making a living with a podcast or with a comedy album or with any of these, you know, artistic endeavors. And you have a child and now all of a sudden the rent comes.
Yeah.
And you do, you know, I find myself like trying to be comfortable with being uncomfortable because it's never going to stop.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.
And so there's that. But I will say that when I meditate, I most often fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So did I do it right?
Well, I would say, do you meditate regularly?
Yeah, I feel like
or
I do.
Or is it like sometimes then?
I feel like every day, five or six times a day. But like when I do slow down that much, I really just want to go to sleep.
Oh, so you don't fall asleep.
Well,
you
I do at night. Like I'll meditate at night to
and it
sleep.
Helps you sleep?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, but in other words, when I'm saying I'm meditating, it could be essentially, as it were, counting sheep. Not that I'm counting sheep,
right,
I might play something over in my mind, like a tennis hit or something.
Right. Well, the way I would address that is this. One, because this comes up, it's a really common question. A lot of people feel this way, so that's good that you're on track. So when you meditate, you're letting go of thoughts, your mind is sort of drifting, your body goes into a state of rest. If you fall asleep, you fully like fall over and fall asleep. So a lot of times people are meditating and they can feel like, oh, am I asleep? And then you come out of it and can realize, oh, no, I wasn't actually.
Mm.
It's when you're in that state of rest that's aware, you're actually getting more rest in your body than if you were asleep. And then the third thing I want to say is you probably need sleep. So if you're feeling like, and it happens a lot when people start meditating is why I asked if it was regular. Because if it's just a sometimes thing, it very often will feel like, oh, my body feels like I just want to go to sleep. Lack of rest, like fatigue,
yeah,
is like the main thing that we're suffering from right now. So there's sort of not enough sleep left in our lifetime to catch up on sleep. Hmm. So a lot of times when people meditate, especially when I teach them like the first week, they're like, oh, okay. First I'm afraid it's not going to work. And then like, oh, it's working. Oh, it's really working. Oh my God. It's like giving water to a thirsty runner.
Wow.
You know, like, oh yeah, I'll have a little water. Oh, no, keep going. Like your body is like, I have not really rested for years.
Yeah.
You know, like because we're just cramming lattes and Red Bulls and whatever. So another takeaway from that is, rest. Let your body rest, and you might just need to go to sleep.
Some people also might think that they're not deserving of that rest. Do you know what I mean? Like, that I don't have the luxury to just sit around and do nothing.
Well, I put that on our culture. Mm. Like, not every culture, like Australia isn't necessarily telling their people this exact same thing. But we live in a culture of you should always be making money, essentially. Like, so anything that's not kind of making money or getting power or getting status, you know, like sort of, you know, raising our profile in some way, it seems like a waste of time, but it's not. Like, you actually need rest for your body to work properly.
I guess I was thinking
and
more
your mind
along
to work properly.
The lines of not that you don't need it, but that you, you literally have to pay rent or have to do something. So you do have to work.
Right. No, of course.
Harder.
But to me, like, you know, that's why meditation is like, do it for 5 minutes, do it for 10
minutes.
Oh,
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, it's your, like,
it doesn't have to be a retreat to Bali.
Oh my God. No,
where
that's,
worms come out of you.
Well, but also like one of the things I like about teaching meditation, like a comedy club situation or like not a temple.
Yeah.
Is I would fully discourage people from going to India or whatever. Like, just do a simple practice. Why do we feel good on vacation? Because we're like, oh, I can relax. Yeah. I don't have to worry about anything.
So true.
You can do that for 5 minutes every day.
Yeah.
And if you make it a habit of that, then your brain is like, just worries less. It gets used to not worry. Oh, every day for a little bit of time, I don't worry.
That's nice.
And now it actually changes your brain.
There's a Twitter thing I see that I think I must follow it on Twitter. It's something like 15 seconds, let your brain do nothing. And they have like this little picture of like rain or something.
Oh, wow.
And you just look at it for 15 seconds.
But anything that you practice, that's what, so your brain is rubbery kind of. Like anything you practice, you're building neural pathways.
Yeah.
So I like to look at it the opposite. And I'm saying this fast because we're running out of time. But if I said every day for 5 minutes, just get angry, just feel as much, just like summon all your anger, get as mad as you can.
Yeah.
At the end of a month, you're great at getting angry, right? Because I practice this. So I can get angry like that.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation's the opposite. So you're like, for 5 minutes every day, I'm fine. Acceptance. Everything's fine. Now you're building that neural pathway.
Interesting. I like that.
That's what meditation is. That is what it's doing. That's why even 5 minutes a day is like a really big deal.
Yeah. So is it like, okay, the more I play tennis, the better I get?
Yeah. It's exactly that.
It's like a muscle.
If you did sit, think of it exactly as a muscle. So and what we are naturally doing a lot of the time because of fear input is worry or stress or upset. And so really like meditation, like strengthening the muscle of relax, everything's fine, vacation feeling is combating that ultimately.
All right, you guys, you heard it here first. No, really, that's good stuff. I like the way you explained it.
There's Laura House Meditation. I have laurahouse.com, and there's also Laura House Meditation. If people
good
are
on you. That was a good idea
stuff.
To get it. I don't know anybody else with the last name House. I love that name.
It comes in handy.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It's a good noun.
All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Let Laura know that you enjoyed her story and tweet her over there at @IamLauraHouse. And of course, you can follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And join us next week on Storyworthy for actress Olivia Taylor Dudley.
We load up the car with all, you know, mostly just my mom's jewelry and pictures of, you know, the family and all that kind of stuff. And my dad is literally out in the field surrounding the house with the firefighters. And then helicopters start flying over and picking up water from our creek and dropping water on the house above us and in the fields around us. And it literally was something out of a movie. It felt like the end of the world.
Don't miss Olivia Taylor Dudley next week on Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and everybody on the Wondery team. And a huge thank you to the sponsors on the show today. You guys, really, when you support my sponsors, they send me money. That's how it works. And then I keep doing this.
That's so perfect.
And I buy my child groceries. And it's all exciting. It goes back and forth. So again, thank you so much for supporting my sponsors. And know this, I never take on a sponsor that I don't agree with. I've actually turned down some sponsors. Can you believe that?
I do believe that.
Yeah, I have. All right, you guys, on behalf one more time of the very talented Laura House, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.